Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Carol, for that powerful prayer. It's going to be good. Pastor Herman said this morning, it's going to be great. And I said, yes, it's going to be good. But then I changed. I said, no, it's going to be great. I agree with you. Anyway, it's always an honor and a privilege to come and stand before you tonight. Thanks again. Thank you to our pastors, you know, for allowing me to do this. And I really believe that the Lord gave me this message for us tonight. Because when Pastor Herman asked me last year, which was just last month, he said, you're sharing next in January. And I started praying what I should share to you. Because really, I'm finding out that the hardest part really is finding what to share. I mean, the Bible is just so full. It's so rich. You can just preach until Jesus comes back and you never exhaust it because it's a living word. So anyway, I didn't hear God's voice speaking to me, but there was a very strong impression that came on me to talk about God's love. And that was early on, like I said, when Pastor Herman asked me. Then I thought, wow, talk about God's love. But these are already mature Christians. They know about the word. You know, not that I didn't trust what I heard, but I guess I wanted more confirmation, I think. Like we Christians get confirmation. And so it did come, you know. A few days later, we were praying on a Wednesday night, and I got a hold of Cheryl's prayer. You know, she was just using the word awaken, awaken. And I go, oh, Lord, I like that word. You know, but you already told me I'm going to preach about your love, God's love. And I go, you can awaken to God's love. And I go, there you go, awaken to God's love. Because like I said, you folks know about God's love, but it's time that we need to be awakened to his love. We no longer slumber, we no longer sleep, we need to rise up and just flow in that love. Not our own effort, but it's through his love. So then I thought, oh Lord, okay, awaken to God's love. I love that. So the second thing that happened is that leadership dinner, I got a present from Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. She's not here tonight, but I've never spoken to Michelle. I didn't know that she got my name. But guess what she gave me? And Cheryl knows this because I was sitting by her. And I said, ginger, turmeric tea. And 2 days prior to that, I was just telling like, oh, my favorite tea just ran out. Elizabeth, not here. That's the one that Elizabeth gave me. And I said, that's okay, because Clyde and I are going to Honolulu this weekend, so I'm going to buy there, because I know that it was bought from Honolulu. And here it was. Michelle gave me the tea, not knowing that I love that tea. And I told Cheryl, oh, God loves me. Because that's the theme already in my head. And she said, yeah, God loves you. Then I pulled out the second present. God loves you. And I go, see, Cheryl, God loves me. And she said, yeah, yeah, he loves you. But she didn't know what was happening inside of me. But I didn't want to, I wanted to reserve it, you know, for today, what was happening then. So, oh, she also gave me a biscotti, but that's eaten already, because that's also one of my favorite. Anyway, yeah, thank you, Michelle. And that's not all. New Year's Eve message, Pastor Herman. You know, I was listening to him, and the scriptures that was turning in my head, he was mentioning it, and he also talked about the prodigal son. And so after his message, I had to go to him, and I said, Pastor Herman, you walk all over my message. And he said, well, that's confirmation, right? And I go, yeah, I'm not changing my message because it's really not my message. It's from the Bible. So, you know, it's just given to me to present to you tonight. And then comes Scott on Wednesday night. And he was telling me before that, he said, I really like to go last, you know, so I can kind of pull it together, what everybody share, you know, when I'm the last one. I don't really want to go first. And I go, well, just go, you know, you have something to share. And sure enough, Scott's message last week said, he titled it Rebuilding the Temple. And then he said, we need to go back to foundational truths. I go, that's my message. We need to rebuild the temple. And the foundational truth is God's love. That's the very foundation of it. So, Scott, you know, you didn't pull it all together, you know, everybody's message, but you really laid that foundation that for me, you know, to speak tonight. And that's not all, you guys. I tell you, this is so much fun preparing for this message. This past Sunday, I was, am I getting nervous? Anyway, this past Sunday, I was at, or is it hot, or it's just me? Anyway, this past Sunday, I was at children's ministry, you know, with the JC, and I went to get the snack, I think, outside, and I heard them saying, God's love. I think it was Lucas that was telling them, write God's love on top of your paper. They were doing an activity. And they were learning about God's love. So I go, oh, wow. And Lag was teaching. So when we got home that night, I said, Lag, what was your lesson? She said, oh, why? I said, I heard God's love. And she said, yeah. And I go, don't you have a curriculum that you follow? You know, like, you know, on this day, you do this and that. And she said, no, that's just for the younger ones. I had to pray. And this is what I got, God's love. So I go, wow. It's amazing how it all intertwined. And I said, because it's the same Holy Spirit that's working in us. And I am so proud of the children's ministry. You know, you teachers that are ministering to them, they're getting the same lesson like we do here. So I asked Lag some more, you know, so what about God's love? And then she was sharing with me the four ways that God showed his love. And number one, he said he gave Jesus Christ, and God chose you and me, and then God gave his Holy Spirit. And then the creation shows God's love. And I go, that's my message, Lag. But it's not, again, it's not really my own. I keep saying my message, but it is God's message. So, and then yesterday I was sharing with Maritz. You know, they don't come to church as often now, but we pray they will be back. And I was sharing with her what my message is about. And then she was giving me some very nuggets there that I could incorporate with what I'm going to share tonight. So tonight my message is really a culmination of all of those events or those different people that I mentioned to you. And what I learned from that is that if we have an open heart, if we are open and aware of what's happening around us, we really can glean from each other. We learn from each other and not just too hard-headed or close-minded that you can learn from others. We can learn from each other. We just need to be open and aware that he gave all of us, for all of us, because what we have is not for us to keep, but it's for us to share. So I learn a lot from those different events that happen. So thank you guys and girls. Okay, so let's just pray before we start. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity once again to minister your word. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit, totally dependent on you. As I share the message I believe you had given me, may my brothers and sisters be good hearers and awaken them to your love that is so great and wonderful, love that is beyond description. May we rest and be empowered with that love all throughout our long and blessed life here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so awaken to God's love. We need to be awakened. Arise from our slumber and our rest, because it's a new year, and this is a foundational truth, like Scott said. So our text scripture for the night is 1 John 4:8, and I got this from the NLT. Excuse me, let me have a drink of water. Okay, so from the NLT, what I have is, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So while you're there, can you please also turn to, I have a hard time with this word, Deuteronomy 6:5. But you know what I mean. You know which book. And Matthew 22:37. Okay. So Deuteronomy 6:5. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And then in Matthew 22:37, it says again, you must love the Lord your God. I'm sorry, you're still flipping your Bibles, but you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. And this is what they call the royal love in the new covenant. You have to love God more. You must have more passion for God. You probably have heard this preaching before and wondered, how can I do that? How can I love God more? And that was also my dilemma. I'm pretty sure that all of us would like to obey that commandment because we do love the word. And at least that should be our number one quest, to keep and obey his word. And like I said, I used to struggle in trying to obey that commandment. And there were days I thought that I was doing very well in loving God with all of my heart and with all of my strength. I would start my day with my daily devotions, praying, reading the word, and then off to work I go. And off to work I go, my full-time employment. And where I work is very fast-paced environment that you really have to be on your toes at all times. I used to work with victims and witnesses as they go through the criminal justice system. So it's pretty traumatic. They've been through very difficult, traumatic experiences. So I was the director for that unit, and I was supervising the counselors and some clerical staff. So of course, when you work in that kind of environment, you need a lot of support. So I find myself doing most of my time was spent doing that, you know, just encouraging my counselors. And there are times that when people are not satisfied with the service that we provide them, I want to talk to your supervisor. You know, so then I end up talking to them and, you know, just listening to them. And on top of that, I have my own duties I need to do. You know, I have my own admin duties, budgets, and reports to do. And if it goes on day after day, it can get very stressful. So at times, I find myself not very loving to people. I mean, I try to keep my cool, you know, and just flow along with them. But it was just difficult to just be that loving. And I used to get frustrated because I said, Lord, how can I obey that commandment with all my love? Look, I got frustrated with them. At one time I told our secretary, I said, if there's another crisis call, don't call me. Tell them, call 911. I said, are you sure, Lena? And I said, yeah, call 911. But anyway, I was just frustrated when I told her that. But I said, no, put the call to me. So anyway, the truth is, I don't know if anybody is capable of obeying God's commandments all the time, with all of their heart, with all of their soul, and with all his commandments. We are unable to do that, I found out, with the best of my intentions and the effort and the hard work that I put in. Then the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. How could I ever fulfill that? Does that mean when I treat myself, you know, I want to go to the movies or buy myself a new pair of shoes, that I will invite my neighbor to go with me to the movies, or, you know, treat them with something? So what if you have neighbors? And like, gonna laugh at this. What if you have neighbors who have dogs, not just one dog, but several dogs, and they bark constantly, and their owners are working two jobs that they're hardly home, so they just keep barking and barking. And what if your other neighbor on the other side have a bunch of cats and they come to your yard? I mean, I like them coming to the yard because we also have those little Mickey Mouse. So they help us with that. But what if they come to your yard and they poop everywhere? And guess who would have to go and scoop that in the morning? So I would be there scooping that. So my thoughts are not very loving to my neighbors at that time. Then I would say, oh Lord, I'm not obeying your commandments. So it is very hard. Is it just like me, or do you also have challenges? Welcome to life. So what I have learned is so liberating to me. It lifted such burden and gave me so much freedom. The good news is, it is not about us or about what we do. The emphasis in the Old Testament is all about your love for God, whereas the emphasis of the New Covenant is all about God's love for us. Ooh, that's liberating. We are incapable of loving God with all of our strength if we depend on our own self-effort or performance. So what is the Bible definition of love? 1 John 4:10. Okay, did we find it? It says, this is real love. Again, this is NLT. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Yes, like I said, it is not about our love for him, but his love for us. His love is not dependent on us, but on himself. Despite of ourselves. Ooh, that's exciting to me. Glory. That's what I said. I had fun when I was doing this message. I love reading the Apostle John's writing because he referred himself to himself as God's beloved. I don't think Jesus called him my beloved disciple. I was reading through the works of John and I didn't see Jesus telling him, my beloved disciple. It was John's revelation of God's love that he can boldly refer to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. In John, there will be a lot of scriptures, but I need to back up what I'm saying. And in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And in 1 John 4:8, in the latter part of the verse says, which is our text scripture for the night, God is love. So then it is God's love, his love to us, that enables us to love him in return. It's not our effort. It is his love anyway. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Do you trust in his love for you? See, it cannot just remain in the mind or our cerebral logic, but it needs to be experienced in the heart. Because God is love himself, we don't even refer as it, but him, because God is love. Are we experiencing him in our hearts right now? Should be an everyday happening for us. There is a saying that goes, you can't give away what you don't have. I don't think that's in the Bible, but I think it's a good saying. I believe that every person has a longing to be loved. In psychology, the hierarchy of needs, and Melissa would know this, Marlo, I think, is the one who said this. The hierarchy of needs include food, clothing, shelter, and emotional need, which is to be loved. It's very difficult to love God and others if we ourselves have not experienced love. A lot of people try to fill that void with other things like money, material things, power, status, drugs, alcohol, or sex. However, none of this can fill the space that's been intended for God's love. Amen. That's why it's impossible for us to love God completely without experiencing his love first. It is the power of his love working in us to enable us to love him in return. We've been taught in this church that it matters what we believe. In that case, instead of struggling to figure out how we can love God, we must understand his love for us so in turn we can be full of love for him. The more you are aware and conscious of God's love, the more your heart is filled with love for him. And then loving others would come easier as you see them. You will see them through God's love. Then it's easier to love my neighbor. At least we're learning, yeah? When you wake up in the morning, do you take time to breathe in God's love for you? What's the first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning? Do we breathe in that fresh love from God? Do we thank him for a new day and a good night rest that he has given us? Do we thank him for the fresh oxygen in our lungs, so you wake up refreshed and alive? Do we even think that because he has fearfully and wonderfully made us, that even when we were sleeping, your organs, all the different systems in your body, your digestive system, your respiratory system, are busy working so that life is sustained in you? Oh. Are you aware that when you see the beautiful creation he made for us? I mean, we live on Maui. This has been voted the most beautiful island by Condé Nast Traveler for, I think, 20 years in a row. So, like that children's ministry, the Faith Builders lesson, we can see God's love through his creation. You know, a beautiful sunset. Just driving out to Lahaina this morning when I went to work, oh, I was admiring those mountains because usually they're brown, you know, but today they were so green and beautiful. And then the other side is the ocean that's just so calm, and the different shades of blue. I don't even know, I just say blue, but there's so many different shades of blue in the ocean. Boy, we live in a beautiful place. Do we take time to ponder over those things and say that God created this just for me, just for men? And he did this for all of us to enjoy simply because he loves us. Amen. Are we being awakened to God's love now? Hallelujah. So even the faith builder said, how did God show his love to us? And Lag was telling me, a couple of the kids went and said, he sent Jesus, you know, Jesus, he gave Jesus to us. And that is so true. And we thank God for Jesus. If there's one thing that we need to be thankful for, that I need to be thankful for, is for God sending his son Jesus. Because when we know Jesus, we get everything. You know, everything. So God demonstrated how only he could love us with all of his heart, all of his soul, all his mind and strength, when he sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our sins. 1 John 4:9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Told you, we're going to have a lot of scripture, a lot of study. And these are just a few, anyway, that I compiled for the sake of time. There's lots and lots, especially in the book of John. I cannot get away from that book. I just love reading it. And, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So those are so good to meditate on. You know, you could meditate on that all day and just breathe in and just imbibe God's love into you. However, going further, this is so good again. I mean, it just gets better, just get gooder, they said. Do we know that God loves us as much as he loves Jesus? Whew, that's exciting. You know, I know he sent his beloved son, but for God to love me as much as he loved Jesus? So I said, where's that scripture, Lord? Where's that scripture? John 17, 22-23, if you're taking notes. And this is Jesus speaking. I get. And I'm reading from NLT. I have given them the glory you gave me, them, referring to us, his church, so that they may be one as we are. One with God and Jesus? Wow. But that's not all. 23. I in them and you in me. This is Jesus speaking. All being perfected into one, then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Oh, we can go home with that. Then we can say we had church tonight. Oh, glory. I wanted to jump when I was reading that scripture. It's amazing when you read the scriptures, you read the Bible, and you read it so many times before, but when it comes alive, when it comes real to you, man, that is such a treasure. It's such a treasure. Yeah. And yeah, it's, I was thinking about it today, you know, preparing the message, and I go, this is like mining for treasures, you know, when you share God's message for the people. You're there searching and searching, and then you get so excited, and you go, oh, Lord, I wish they would get it. I wish they would get it, you know. I wish you give me the word so I can relay it to them so that they'll get it. So anyway, that's just me. I know it's, like I said, it's everybody's message that I glean from them, but I have to put in my own flavor there because I'm presenting it, right? Anyway, back to that scripture. You love him, you love them as much as you love me. And this one, I also got, that the value of a merchandise is in the eye of the purchaser or the buyer. It's the buyer. It's the one who purchased the merchandise who determines the price. So I thought about that, and I said, yeah, that's right. You know, when they go for auction, people bid for things, merchandise, or whatever they're bidding for. And if you treasure that something, you would bid for it. Somebody would outbid you, but you will go higher than that because you know that it's worth so much to you. So the person who got the highest bid will get that thing, whatever it is, that is valuable to them. So, guys, it's just so good. How about, I'm trying to, this thing came to mind while I was reading this. In the Philippines, when you go shopping there, except in the department store, I know Ben just went to the Philippines, so he would know this. Except in the department store, almost every place you go, you can bargain, you can haggle for the price. You know, they'll ask you for the asking price first, and then you would say, how about, you know, something half of that? And then they said, no, it's worth so much, nah, like this, and then you kind of meet at the middle. And then they will give the price. They will give you not the asking price, but something cheaper. And I said, yeah, that's how men are. Because when I used to, again, when I was working, we used to have a game with my staff. You know, we would go to work and said, guess where I bought this dress, you know. And they would say, where? And I go, I only bought it for so much. You know, like even less than half price. And I go, nah, I don't believe you. So we used to have a contest to bring the ticket, you know, of merchandise that we buy and see which one got the best deal, you know, when they went shopping. And I used to go to Macy's, and I like when they have 20% off, or they said one day sale, but the one day sale really is like 2 days or 3 days. And then the following weekend, it's another one day sale, and you go, oh, it's sale forever anyway. But we used to compare tags, price tags, and see which one got the best deal. And we would brag about it, what a deal we had, because I only paid so much, and this is how much it cost. And that's men's way. But God is not like that. God is not one that would get the most value with the lowest price. God will always give the best for us, the very best. Because man is so precious in God's eyes, he sent his very best to redeem mankind. The blood of bulls and goats as sacrifice were not good enough. The Redeemer has to be of the same value as the one that needs redeeming in order to satisfy God's standard in restoring man's fellowship to him. That's why what I said is the new covenant is all about God's love. God's love. It's about God's love for us and not our love for him. How much you are loved is determined by the one doing the loving and not the object of that love. So God is the one who determine how much we're worth. It's not us saying, oh, I'm so precious, I'm worth so much. So we just learn to receive. We just learn to receive that abundant, lavish love that God has for us. That's what we need to do. We've learned about the different kinds of love. Oh, boy. Different kinds of love. God's love is the agape love, which is the unconditional love. Unlike the other kinds of love that says, I love you because, or I love you if, there are conditions attached to those kind of love. God's love is I love you, period. The problem is that our own mind sometimes gives us reasons and trying to convince us to disqualify ourselves from God's unconditional love. We say, I have not read my Bible for 3 days now. I miss my daily devotions. You know, I didn't do my 1 hour prayer, whatever it is. Or I haven't been to church for 3 services, and so on and so on. Or I had a fight with my wife and I kicked the cat, or I had bad thought. So we put on these excuses so that God would not love us. Well, reading your Bible and going to church services are good things. I would encourage you to continue doing that and don't miss it, because it's good for you. Kicking the cat is not good, so don't do that. So we must remember that God's design and purpose for us is to experience God's love. We have to experience God's love and compassion, and we must remember that He's not there to condemn us or to punish us, to reprimand us. And His love then gives us, empowering us to be able to do things that we think that we cannot do, or we think that is impossible for us to do, like me speaking to you tonight. It's only God's love I'm here doing this. Anyway, I was going to talk about the prodigal son, which is, I think, although it's a parable of the prodigal son, I think it's an excellent illustration of God's unconditional love to us. 7:43. Okay, I'm going to try to talk fast. Prodigal son, Luke 15:11-31. Like Pastor Herman said, Sunday, that New Year's Eve, a parable is a story that illustrates the truth. And, how can we do this faster? Okay, I'm not going to read the Bible, the prodigal son. I'm going to just try to summarize it for the sake of time. So the father is Father God. The older son is a type of Israel, the Jewish people. And then the younger son is the church. We're all familiar with the prodigal son parable, right? Okay. So anyway, so Luke 15:11-19. I'm just going to do it this way rather than reading the Bible. The younger son asked for his inheritance instead of waiting until father dies. Aren't we like that sometimes? When we want something, we want it now. We've gotten so used to with the fast pace of living that we want everything fast and now. We go to fast food restaurants because we don't want to wait. Still, we order something and we said, what's taking them so long? I only order a salad, or I only order a hamburger, whatever it is that we order. How about technology? You know, you're in your computer and saying, this is so slow. And I go, what is slow? I used to use typewriter when I was in college. I think some of you are old enough to remember typewriter, because I mentioned that to the younger one and they said, what is that? Maybe we can put that in a museum or something. Yeah, remember typewriter? You know, now you have word processing. But typewriter, you used to type. And we used to have the, what you call that? the whiteout, yeah? And then it got improved, and then you have the correction tape, so you backspace that that error that you made, and you type it over. So what you're talking about, so slow, you know, your computer. So then you upgrade again, upgrade. They just want to sell you the newest one. Anyway, oh, I just remember this. Okay, but it still kind of pertains to this. When Clyde and I were in Atlanta, I believe, when I was working, we used to travel a lot because I attend training conferences. And I don't remember, Atlanta or Miami we were. So Clyde get the, what's that? He got to go and explore the place. And me, I have to go sit inside the classroom and learn. So anyway, one time he was asking, I need to go see this place and this place. So he was asking the young man on the front desk, and he said, do you have a telephone book? And the young man looked at him like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. So what is that? Well, he must be in his 20s, young man. And Clyde said, well, that's the book that you have, it's the list of people's names and then their address and their phone numbers. And I go, I haven't heard of that. Why don't you Google it? There's a computer room there. Generation gap, yeah. Anyway, it still pertains to the message. Okay, so this, going back to the prodigal son, he packed his belongings and left home to a distant land, probably to a different country. At home, there were probably rules and standards he needed to follow. Sometimes we think it must be better when we are independent and don't have to follow rules and responsibilities at home with our parents. It always looks greener or better somewhere else other than where we're at. When this young man had money, he had many so-called friends. They're not really friends. Shall we just call them people who wanted to hang out with him because he had money? He probably were treating them. And when the money was gone, they all left him. And then there was famine in the land. Only the job he had was feeding pigs. He got so hungry, even the pig's food looked appetizing. Then he thought of home, that the servants were well taken care of, that they have more than enough to eat. He was motivated to return only because of what he can get from his father. He was just thinking of food. He was just thinking of the benefit for him to fill his stomach. And applying that to our present church, do we go to the Father only because of what we can get from him? Are we going to him only bringing our wish list like a Santa Claus? Are we seeking him only for the benefits like loaves of bread and fishes? Or are we seeking the provider himself? Are we seeking the Father's heart himself? Luke 15:20-24. He went back to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. And how did the father see him coming? He was a long distance away. So I can only imagine, this is not in the Bible, just my own imagination, that every day since the younger son left, the father must have been scanning the horizon, daily expecting his son's return. And when the son returned, he must have been in filthy rags. He probably had not taken a bath for many days. Remember, he went to a distant land and did not have any means of transportation. He probably drove a Cadillac when he got his inheritance and went off. But now coming home, he didn't even have a donkey. He was walking. He must have been walking for days, sweating, hungry, and smelly. But the father ran to him, embraced and kissed him. He met him with so much love and affection. He did not give him a lecture or reprimand or scoldings, like we say it in Hawaii, scoldings. You lousy son, you know, why did you spend all my money? Nothing like that. And yet, when you look at it, and I read it again, I reread it, the son did not even tell the father that he missed him. He didn't even tell the father that he loved him. He just wanted to go back because he was hungry. He wanted the benefits of father's household, but not the father, not the father's love. As I think of this, I think of our food pantry distribution. And there are times that I have the privilege of sitting down with Sister Phyllis to greet the guest here. And when Juanita is not able to come, you know, she would ask me to sit with her. And I'm really impressed. I'm very amazed at how Sister Phyllis treats our guests. You know, when she greets them warmly, with such love. And when she talks to them like they're the most important people in the world, right then and there. And I said, why is that, Lord? Why some people can do that and some of us cannot? And preparing for this message is because Sister Phyllis had experienced God's love. And it's that love that is within her. It's that love that she has received inside of her. And she can in turn share that effortlessly to others. So even if they come like the prodigal son, dirty, smelly, and all, they're worth just like us to the Father. They're worth the same. So Sister Phyllis, thank you. Thank you for that great job that you do. I learn a lot from you folks. So the older brother was, in Luke 15, 25 to 30, the older brother was working in the field. And I don't have anything against working in the field. I work hard myself, work long hours. Used to work in the field when I was in the Philippines, you know, as I would say child labor, because when I moved here, I was barely, I was 16 years old when I came here. But anyway, I also know about working hard and doing physical labor. I also work at the cannery for 3 summers while going to school. So when I look at that, you know, so there's nothing wrong in working hard, but could it be that the older brother was too busy working and didn't even have time with his father talking or just hanging out? Could it be that he thinks through his hard work that he could please his father? Could it be that? And he was angry. There was a great feast. There was a banquet. He talked about all the things he did for his father. I worked very hard and long hours every day. I did this for you. I. You have never given me a skinny goat, and yet you killed a fatted cow for this son who spent all your money? These are all my words, of course, paraphrasing. Now, he was even accusing his father. Don't you care? Don't you care? Does that sound familiar? Disciples telling Jesus, don't you care? He was not grateful to see his younger brother, but was angry at him. Again, when Pastor Herman shared about the money that was given to the church, $30,000, you know, person or persons who have given that money to the church, it was very useful that we were able to pay off, you know, some of the debts that the church has. And I thought, how did the people feel when they heard about that? Were we jealous of those people or persons who gave that money? Or were we happy for them? What was our attitude? What was our attitude towards that? Did we ask God, why not me? How come? How come it's not me who could give that money? How come I wasn't blessed with that? Or did we say, praise the Lord, bless them, Lord, that there will be more. There will be more for them to give. Bless that family who gave that. And it will be multiplied. And Lord, I will be next. I can give that or even more, because the blessing really is from the Lord. Again, it's not self-effort. Gosh. Okay, we're almost done. Father said, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. Do we know that our Father in heaven has given us everything to enjoy life? Pastor Herman sharing how God told him when he asked why God created him. And the answer was he created him so he can love him. Yes, we are here so that God has somebody, many, many somebodies to love. And while studying about God's love, I too wondered if God loved man so much, why did he create him last, you know, when he did the creation? And this is great again, what I got. God created man last so that man could have everything he needed to live and sustain himself. See, God didn't want to put man in a barren land. He didn't want him to go in darkness. You know, he has to create this beautiful place, a garden for him. He created an environment that was conducive to man living on earth. God wanted something so beautiful for man to live in. And that is still true today. Despite what environmentalists say about depleting the earth's resources and harming the environment, I believe that there is no shortage. Again, I said this, I think, last time. There is no shortage on planet Earth. God loves us so much. There's always enough food supply, water, and all other necessities that we need. We just learn to harvest that, you know, from God's blessing. It's all here. He loves us. He's not going to withhold anything good for us. I have another example. In 2016, Clyde and I had the opportunity to go to an Alaskan cruise. And a tour cruise director was orienting us when we just got there, telling us of all the things that we could do on board the ship. It's a huge ship. I think there were about 2,000-something passengers and about 1,000 employees. So there's 3,000-something people in there. So they have to give us an orientation. These are available for you. You can go eat at this place. And it's buffet, you guys. Oh, my gosh. It adds. 7-day cruise can put on easy 10 pounds if you go visit the buffet all the time. But there's also the rec room, you know. There's the weight room and all that. That it's all available for you. They have a lot of entertainment and all that. So this cruise director, I want you to know about these things that you can enjoy while on board. And when you go on land, there are also places that you can see, go sightseeing. But she said, don't be like this man who went on a cruise. And when it was time to disembark, she said, I have never seen this man before. Well, you know, where were you? I haven't seen you around, you know, the ship. It's a huge ship anyway. But of course, when you go to the functions, you get to see each other. And the man said, well, you know, I save up my money for so long for my fare that I couldn't afford to go eat in the dining room. I couldn't afford to go to the shows. I couldn't afford to go, you know, do the activities that are there. And lo, he found out that everything was included in there. So, yes, that is a shame. And that is true with some Christians today. And that is not true with Faith Family Maui. Some Christians, they're just satisfied they got their fire insurance when they were saved. They know they're going to heaven, but they're not enjoying the full benefits of being a child of God, but not true here. The dad said, everything I have is yours. Are we expecting a skinny goat from our Heavenly Father? Or are we enjoying a feast of fatted calf and the finest wardrobe and jewelries? Are we even aware that these are already provided for us? And the only way to find out is to search the Word. Because, like Pastor Herman said, he will tell you. Older brother was focused on himself and was angry. That's what happened when we only look at ourselves. And we're not happy with what we have, we get angry. Then we start saying, you never gave me. Very accusatory, murmuring, blaming others, because of you, because of you, because of my parents, because of my upbringing, and other excuses, petty excuses that we say. Instead, we should be thankful of what we have. Focus on something good. For example, you have a headache. So 1% of your body is in pain. How about the other 99% who's not in pain? Are we thankful for that, that 99% of your body is not in pain? But anyway, you can also pray for healing because we've already been healed. So that 1% can be healed too. So instead of murmuring, do what the word says. Don't be too busy looking at other people. We forget to be thankful for what we have. Okay, we're landing, you guys. Oh, I prepared, so I need to tell you what I prepared. Anyway, I'm just going to... In a nutshell, all that I shared to you is that we can never fully love God with our self-effort and strength. We need to be aware of and receive God's love. Then we would be full of love for him. Ephesians 3:19, you just write it down if you're taking notes. It says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So as we celebrate the love of Jesus in our lives, we will find ourselves changed, and we will see the mighty power of God displayed for us and through us. God's anointing will begin to operate powerfully in our lives. So I will leave you with this scripture. Again, thanks to Michelle. Romans 8:38. That's the other side of the mug. How would you like that? Yeah, I just come all together. Romans 8:38, 39 says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death cannot, life cannot, the angels cannot, and the demons cannot. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So I hope this message has awakened you to God's love tonight. That's our prayer.